Hello, my name is Caroline Malamed. I'm 19 years old, and today I'm speaking with Nancy Malamed, who's my mother. I am in Richmond, Virginia, and she is in Raleigh, North Carolina. And this interview will be about her role models on television growing up. So, Mom, who were some of your role models that you saw on television?
Well, the earliest I can remember was a very impactful role model, you could say, and that was the actress Marlo Thomas, who played the lead role in a sitcom in the, I guess it was the 60s and 70s, called That Girl. And I remember being in elementary school, maybe fifth, sixth grade, and I was just fascinated by her and her life. You know, she was this single young woman. I think she must have only been about 21, maybe 20, living in New York City, on her own pretty much, working, at the, kind of chasing different dreams. I think she wanted to be an actress. But she just had, she had a lot of independence, saw her as really very courageous and funny and beautiful. And she, it just looked like, wow, you know, I just thought that that looks like just the dream, you know, to be single and living in New York and just having all these adventures. And she also was very pretty and seemed to just be having a lot of fun and getting to be herself and chasing her dreams. And I just looked at her life and thought, that looks good to me. I, you know, got to visit New York City often. It's only an hour away by car or train, but living in the suburbs, most of the women around me in their 20s were married, had, you know, at least a child, and their lives just did not look interesting to me at all. And she just seemed to be, it was just a lifestyle that I had never really seen. I didn't know anyone like that. And I thought that was, that looked really, really good to me. She also, she was engaged to a guy. So she had that, but they weren't married and he didn't seem to have a lot of control over what she did with her time. And so I thought that seemed like a pretty, pretty ideal. I thought that would suit me just fine.
So it seems like she was like a role model, like an aspirational sort of person. Did you like relate to her at all, like in terms of like, you know, her family life or her, even just like her looks or something?
Yeah. In fact, I think the show was very popular and everybody watched it. And a couple of my friends in, I think I was in sixth grade, started to call me That Girl because I did look a little bit like Marlo Thomas. I think that she's Italian and I'm part Italian, and she had, you know, very dark eyes, very dark brown hair, kind of petite. And so she, you know, of course was much older, but that someone mentioned a resemblance, which of course I was, took that as a big compliment. And she had beautiful clothes all the time. So to me, I guess it's kind of like in the 80s, Sex and the City, a lot of young women looked at the characters on that show as like, that, you know, they we're living the dream. But, you know, other than having a father who was maybe somewhat on the strict side, I guess, I don't know, her relationship with her father on the show was very sweet. In fact, the man who played her father is her actual father, Danny Thomas. So I thought that was kind of nice. I liked that relationship. It wasn't exactly what I had at home, but there really wasn't a lot of resemblance to me. But, you know, I like to think so.
Right. So, so her, like, career, you mentioned being sort of like a goal or like some sort of thing that you would aspire to, like independence and sort of chasing a dream career. Did you like keep that in mind or that sort of influence when you started thinking about what you wanted to do when you grew up?
No, actually, no. And you know, in fifth, sixth grade, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And she did different things. I mean, I would never dream of wanting to be an actress. I was not that outgoing. And she was very confident and outgoing, which I was not. So, you know, I admired that part. Yeah, I don't remember exactly. But as far as career, I would not say that she inspired me to take a particular career. That wasn't probably until high school. And even another role model that I had, a very significant role model, was the Mary Tyler Moore, which I don't know how many years it was on, maybe 3 years or something. That was like at the end of middle school. And she was in the news business, which I never had any interest in either. But just being, and she was in her 30s. So, you know, she was a big influence on me too, because, you know, all the women I saw around me, my aunts and my neighbors, you know, if you're a woman in your 30s, you're definitely married or something's wrong. And here was Mary living on her own, had her own apartment in a city. All her friends were single women that were her age or older. And she didn't look like she was feeling the need to be married that much. And she dated, but she was very focused on her career. And so all of that I thought was intriguing and very refreshing. And after growing up with Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best and even, you know, the Brady Bunch, where all the moms stayed home, all the women were married and were staying home, taking care of kids, you know, to see this woman in her 30s then living alone with a career and focus on her career. And that again was like, wow, okay, I didn't know we could do that. That's good. That's interesting. She still really wasn't a role model for a career for me. I would say the women that inspired me in science, I knew I wanted to go into science by the time I was probably in 9th or 10th grade. And those were Jane Goodall. In fact, I saw documentaries on TV about Jane Goodall studying chimpanzees. And I was really inspired by her. Here was another woman out on her own in Africa, you know, living in a hut and watching chimpanzees for years. And I thought she was incredible. And so that was probably 9th or 10th grade when I really, really decided I wanted to go into science as a career.
Right.
And I think that she was a big influence on me.
I sort of remember, I think, when I was about, like, I don't know, 10 or 11 maybe, we got like a DVD of My Girl, I think season one, and we were watching it. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, That Girl.
Yeah, That Girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, revisiting the show after so many years, you, like, remember, like, what your reaction was to that?
Watching it again?
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of silly. But, yeah, it was great to see it. It's been a really long time since I had seen it, of course.
Right.
So it was pretty neat. Yeah.
Do you think, like, I mean, this is sort of obvious, but, like, a show like that, if it was on air today, that it would be as popular or as, you know, influential as it was for you when it first aired?
I do. I think so. You know, I mean, for me, those people, like, I think, like her and Mary Tyler Moore, they were showing, I think, a feminist point of view in a way. And I think for us in the 70s, that was sort of new. I think that it wouldn't be as novel for girls to see that now, because you've had strong female role models. But still, I think I think it's still good. I think it still would have an effect. I think anytime girls get to see women, you know, on their own deciding what to do, and focus on their careers and just living independently, I think it's good, and I think it still make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, I think I remember watching it, and even though I had, like, experience seeing sort of independent female characters like that on TV that was airing at the time, it still sort of impressed me. Like, it still made an impact on me, just, like, knowing the era that the show was from and seeing the, right, the type of character she was. I was still, like, affected by that and impressed.
Yeah, definitely. And one other thing I can think of, one other show that was really groundbreaking in so many ways was Star Trek. And I was very young when Star Trek was playing, and we, you know, I was a big fan. My whole family enjoyed that. And there were, you know, women on the crew that they were scientists and engineers, and they ran the ship, and they carried guns, and they, you know, laid tasers or whatever, and they were an equal part of the crew, and they were, you know, they were technical. They could talk about, you know, the thrusters and the and all the different parts of the ship. And I do remember feeling good that these are scientific type women, and, you know, they're on this crew, this men and women, and they're equal, and they have, you know, the women aren't all just serving coffee, you know, they're behind the controls. Now, Lieutenant Uhuru, I mean, she was incredibly inspiring for my generation of girls, because not only was she brilliant, but she was beautiful. And so you could be, you know, gorgeous and sexy and smart at the same time, which wasn't very common to see. You know, scientists, especially female scientists, were usually portrayed as the kind of nerdy, you know, unattractive with the thick glasses, you know, like Velma, right? Mm-hmm. Velma, smart. On Scooby-Doo, she solves mysteries. You know, Velma doesn't have the cute boyfriend. That's the, you know, Daphne, right? The pretty one. You know, not the smart one. So Star Trek just showed these, you know, smart, capable, technically capable women that were, you know, also allowed to be pretty and sexy and wear cute uniforms and boots and stuff. So that was big to me. You know, I don't think they were just dressing them up so that they would be pretty on camera. I felt like they were making a statement, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's how I took it anyway, like, okay, that's pretty neat, you know.
Right.
So I think I looked at that as that's good news.
All right. Well, I think that's it. So thank you for doing this interview.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for the questions.